Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And there's a reason for that.
Okay.
Yesterday, while this very program produced content, produced art, threw a fire in the building, Sarah and Vinny were escorted outside, protected.
Wait. What?
The Alice station was taken outside. If you're on Sarah's Instagram account, she's one of the absolute best. Yeah. They were outside in the streets documenting the fire while your boys could have perished.
Shepherded safely outside. And let's not forget Anna Kakanakis, who braved the flames as well. She could have turned tail. She is closest to the exit, which, by the way, we didn't know where our nearest exit was.
I did inform the back room where it was, by the way.
Thanks.
I did have that info.
It was amazing because I asked them, could you find where the exit is? And then 2 minutes later, I asked them, where's the exit? Well, I don't know. We're waiting on that. What do you mean waiting on that? You don't have people working for you. You need to go find that yourself. So the big question today, were we left to perish because no one thought of us? Because Sarah and Vinny mean that much more? Or is the art so important on this radio program that they figured of all the stations in this building, 95.7, Joe Lowe and Dibs, they need to stay on. We'll get everyone else out.
I think it's the latter of the two.
Definitely. The level of import, the art that we perform, Lo, that we provide for the people is so far superior. And ultimately, if there's an Ed Sheeran tune that can be played, it can be played on a loop as long as Sarah and Vinny and the crew, shout out Human, Yuzette, and Bryn and all the rest, but as long as they're safely out of the building, then all can go on, you know?
All right. So as we said, Kyle Juszczyk, not former, 49ers fullback, going to join us in just under an hour at 7 o'clock. Kurt Warner, the Hall of Famer, is today at 8:18. We've got a million things going on as we get set for week one in the NFL. A big shout-out to Matt Kolsky. We launched the pregame show today. Original art for you from 5 to 6 a.m. every single morning, Monday through Friday. But, again, big questions. Is it the pregame show or is it the pregame show?
Wait, you got me locked up now, Coach. This is like the old...
Why are you wearing a backpack?
And why am I standing? Because we came in a line change, and I got caught halfway between the door and the ice and the dugout. So I'm going to ease my way into it.
But, did you not read the email yesterday?
Oh, I did. I did, but I what
but
I found
you chose
is,
not at 5:30 to come in and do what you were instructed to do, to get set up.
I did as much as I could, but what I found
What was
is,
as much as I could, if
well,
I may ask?
My headphones
is
were set
nothing?
Up.
Is that nothing?
No, the headphones were set up, which was critical. And the backpack, though, wasn't properly stored in the overhead compartment. The sweatshirt wasn't removed. Da-da-da-da-da-da. But it's okay. I'm happy to do the first segment in my backpack. It's actually quite comfortable.
It's actually quite odd.
It is very odd.
Yes.
Surprisingly, I'll say this. Now that we have a lead into this program, the only person who was actually in his seat ready to go is Lorenzo Neal.
Got to give it to him.
Bo's got all of his stuff. Everything's plugged in. He is the only one completely buttoned up.
It happens sometimes, Joe. It happens sometimes. And I just want to tell you, I appreciate it this morning. You went right at the redhead ginger, and I loved it. You had him on, it was a 10-8 round. Went to the body.
The
was
email
nice.
Was sent at 5:30.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, it's perfect for Dibs, Lo, and Anna, because they can come in. No one's in their seat. They can get set up. The only person it affects is me, because Kolsky, as the host of the show, is in this seat. So the only person being affected by this is me. And yet somehow. 5 minutes before the show, Anna looks at me and goes, well, what's the out?
Yeah.
There is no out. There is an email. Dibs here in his backpack because he clearly missed the email.
And that's very comfortable. I just underestimated how much maintenance I have to do as an older guy. You know, you got to get all your stuff lined up properly, your salves, your creams, etc.
Yeah. Matt Kolsky from the pregame show joining us now here, Joe Lowe and Dibs. Kolsky, the hard-hitting questions come early and often with us. Is it the pregame show or is it the pregame show?
Wow, that is a complicated question that I don't think I had yet considered myself.
Well, it's being billed as the pregame show, but the Twitter handle is @pregame show. Huh. And we're trying to get to the bottom of it. Were you not prepped for this question?
Because I was not.
It's literally the only reason why we asked you to come in this morning.
Oh,
outside of continuing to promote the program.
I thought we were going to do 10 minutes on Jimmy Garoppolo. Is that not? We're not? Okay. I would go the pregame show.
The pregame show.
Yeah.
So are you going to change the Twitter handle?
Sure, I'm in charge of that.
Perfect. That's
sure.
The adjustment.
That's a thing I can do, absolutely.
How was your first hour?
I liked it. I hope the people liked it. I am not going to have trouble filling an hour. I am going to have trouble getting to all the things I want to get to every morning. But so far, so good.
Well, as long as you're giving the people what they want, Kosi, that's the main
thing. I feel fresh.
Are you giving them what they want?
If what they want is to be angry on the text line, I think I am.
Perfect. Welcome.
What's interesting is that will bleed in the 6 to 10, and then 10 to noon, and then noon to 3, and then 3 all the way through you tomorrow morning. The text line has been renamed the fan line by this program because it's really nothing but positivity from the fans.
Yes. It's a lot of hot fan takes, and there's a lot of emotion, and I appreciate that.
Well, listen, we appreciate you as the lead-in from 5 to 6. This is the moment where we give the round of applause.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
Thank you so much. We do need to get to business. We begin right here.
Well, Happ allowed 3 home runs in his last start. That was against the Tigers last week. He has 0-1 pitch on the way. Steven, a deep drive into center. Hicks is going back. He is to the track. He will turn and watch it fly.
You just said that.
And the A's take a 1-0 lead. And Piscotty remains red hot. 1-0 A's in the bottom of the second. His 22nd home run.
Sadly, it wouldn't last, as that was the end of the scoring for the Oakland Athletics last night. The Bombers come back later in the game to score 5. Yankees 5. A's 1, as the A's trot out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8 pitchers last night, Dibs. 8 pitchers as we now begin the bullpenning experiment.
Yes, and Daniel Mangdon looked like a starter, even though he didn't start until the second inning. But he came out and he was dealing, and the way things were looking early, they had the lead, and you knew you had your strongest part of your team still to go, your bullpen. But unfortunately, it was a little uneven. Familia, Rodney, no one could close the door, and eventually a good Yankee team scratched and clawed, and the A's offense didn't quite produce enough to get the win.
Your situation is as follows. The A's, now 83-57 on the year, they find themselves 4.5 back of the Yankees for that highly coveted first wild card spot. Seattle, shout them out. They lost to Baltimore yesterday after a predetermined fight in the clubhouse. Get this. D. Gordon, second baseman for the Mariners, escorts all of the media out of the clubhouse yesterday afternoon, knowing full well they were about to come to blows. Seattle then came to blows in the locker room, and as minus 200 favorites, went out and lost to an Orioles team that is 41-98 on the season. The Mariners are fading, and they're fading fast. But today, the rubber match between the A's and the Yanks. And if you're the A's, this is as tough as it's going to be because Luis Severino is taking the mound for the Yankees. Yankees find themselves as huge favorites in this game, minus 155. The money's coming in on the Yanks. First pitch, 7:05 tonight. So, playoff atmosphere, or do you find yourself in a situation where you say, Lo, we just got to take it one game at a time. No reason to put any more pressure on this game than any others. It's the Yankees. We might see them in the playoffs. Let's not overthink this thing.
Well, first of all, Joe, I want to give a shout out and congratulations. We had a guy to go, Lone Wolf, Mr. Dibley. You know, he went on an island yesterday. All of us said that we're going to take the A's. Mr. Dibley.
Good call.
You know,
round of applause.
Round of applause. So you went Lone Wolf, and you thought, I thought after watching the game, you see the A's go up 1-0. You say, okay, here they go. And you saw Crush. He's, you know, kind of in this little slump, trying to be getting out of it. And you just saw this game starting to get away. This is a game, Joe, I really believe that you look at the A's and you look at the Yanks. I don't think that either team is saying, we're in a dire need, especially the way that you talked about Seattle Mariners fading. And they know these two teams may meet again in one game series. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But yeah, if you're the A's, you definitely want to win this game, though.
Well, Severino is going to be the guy that you're likely to face in the wild card game if that's going to be the situation. Right now, it seems to be set up where Boston's so far ahead of the Yanks that if the Yanks maintain, they'll be able to set their roster over the final week of the season to put themselves in position where their best guy takes the mound. The question would be, is that Luis Severino? He's been a monster this season, and today could be that preview. But last year, if anyone remembers the wild card play-in game, He took the mound against Minnesota and got shellacked early. He got run out of that game in like two innings, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think you still go with Severino because his stuff is just so electric. And you'll get a good sense, if you're the Yankees today, of just how effective he'll be against an A's team, because this is not a must-win by any stretch for Oakland. You still would like to catch Houston, but more importantly, you want to show yourself that you can beat the Yankees in a series, knowing full well that you probably will have to go there in that one-game playoff.
All right, here's how it's going to shake down. At about 6:20, 10 minutes from now, we are going to announce the final possible qualifier for the Kevin Durant Fantasy Basketball Camp. So button up. If you've registered at 957thegame.com, you have a chance to hear your name called in about 10 minutes from now. Kyle Juszczyk will join us at 7. Kurt Warner will join us at 8:18. We have got a question for you. The Jerick McKinnon injury, is it actually worse than anyone is letting on? You might think to yourself, season ending? How could it be any worse than that? Oh, wait until we explain it next. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Need help getting out of bed in the morning? We've got the answer. The Pregame Show. Come on! Every weekday morning at 5 a.m., leading you into Joe, Lo, and Dibs at 6. Don't miss the Pregame Show on the Bay Area's football station, 95.7. The Game. Joe, Lo, and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
49ers fullback Kyle Juszczyk coming up in about 45 minutes at 7 o'clock. Kurt Warner, the Super Bowl champion, MVP, and Hall of Famer, in about 2 hours at 8:18. And the latest Kevin Durant qualifier coming up in about 4 minutes here at 6:20. It's your boys, Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Yesterday, naturally, we were preoccupied with the news that broke on Saturday regarding the trade to end all trades. Quick side note, did a radio hit in Chicago yesterday, over the moon, ready to plan the parade. Nobody cares about the compensation. Nobody cares about the future. They care about the fact that they just got better. That's from Chicago's point of view. The Raider point of view will be coming up at 6:45. But for right now, we missed the Jerick McKinnon story. We saved it for Wednesday because we wanted to get into our preview of the Niners-Vikings game today. We want to start it today and roll it through the end of the week. So I'm going through some of this news on McKinnon. Last play of practice on Saturday, tears the ACL in his right knee, out for the season. And you're thinking, this is a huge blow to the offense, a huge blow to the team's fantasy chances. You look at the point spread, you think about minor things, and then you start thinking about Alfred Morris and Matt Breida, excuse me. Then you realize Jerick McKinnon may never play a snap for this team ever. I started looking at his contract. They gave him all the money in year one. So if they want, they can just dump him after this season and it turns into a one-year, $11.7 million deal. And that's it. Everyone can shake hands and part ways. The Niners really wouldn't be on the hook for anything else. $3.7 million of his 2019 salary becomes fully guaranteed April 1st, 2019. 3 years are left on the deal. The reality is he'd be cheap. You want to bring him back next year, you can bring him back for $3.7 million. Do you? Coming off the knee injury? Knowing now that all the money is going to the lost year, you end up parting ways with this guy without ever seeing a snap on the field?
And I think that's why one of the reasons why you do bring him back when you're talking about next year, only $3 million. $3 million is backup and running back money now in the league. You know, it's not necessarily a huge contract for $3 million. So the worst is behind you. So you can look at this situation and say, depends on this guy comes back and you want to see this guy play in preseason. I think there'll be a lot more pressure on him to perform at a high level in preseason and minicamp and all those different things surrounding it. But you get hurt now, you have to have a complete darn near year to get ready. So you've seen Adrian Peterson come back at the age of 30, 29, 30 when he tears up his knee. So it's now and lots on McKinnon. Let's see how hard he works. Let's see how fast this guy can come back and be able to play at a high level. But I really believe that San Francisco 49ers will keep this guy, especially the reasons why, Joe, as you pointed out, his base next year is only $3 million.
I know he was working out with Adrian Peterson in the off season, so he knows the work that Peterson went through. He has a famous 3+ hour workout that McKinnon was doing with Peterson in the off season, so he's seen the work that's necessary to come back from it. That being said, if I'm the 49ers, I would just pay him what you have to pay him and move on from him. There's too many fish in the sea at the running back position to put a guy out there coming back from knee surgery and a guy who doesn't have a massive body of work. It's one thing to bring Adrian Peterson back after ACL. He's one of the greats of his era. But Jerick McKinnon, I think you can go out and find somebody for even less than what you'd have to pay him and get even more production.
Who steps in for Jerick McKinnon Sunday against the Vikings coming up in just a moment. But right now, 95.7 The Game and the Golden State Warriors are giving you a chance to play in Kevin Durant's second annual fantasy basketball experience. One lucky listener will win a spot in KD's adult basketball camp taking place September 21st to the 23rd. For your chance to win, you go to 957thegame.com and you enter. Now, today's the last day, so I'm going to skip over the last read because there's really no reason to do this. We have one last name, Al Batista from South San Francisco. Al Batista from South San Francisco, you've got 35 minutes to call us back on the contest line. 415-402-6865. 415-402-6865. If you know Al Batista from South San Francisco, give us a call back in the next 35 minutes, and you are one step closer to crossing over KD. Dibs, we'll start with you on this one. If you're Kyle Shanahan, who are you starting at running back Sunday against the Vikings?
It's Matt Breida because of familiarity with the concepts and the scheme. I think Alfred Morris, having been here for a shorter amount of time, has a stronger grasp of a fewer plays. So for me, you go with Breida, a guy who's been here, a guy who knows the scheme, but you're going to get a lot of Morris in there. And I think the way the two running backs operate being so different, you can have different packages and highlight each of them individually. But for me, you start with Breida.
Feel the same way?
No, I'm not. I'm the opposite side of that. I think that Alfred Morrison, what does he give you? Stability. What does he give you? A veteran presence. You know, you say he hasn't been in this offense. He's been in this offensive scheme. He was with Shanahan and the Redskins, and you see how what kind of year that he had. This guy has toted the mail, and he has been in a starting role. You look at Breida. Breida's going to be asking Breida, a young guy, to go into a hostile environment and perform at a high level. I don't necessarily start him for that reason. I bring Breida off the bench. I still give him a lot of totes. But you have a guy that's been in this league who started in big games, and Alfred Morris, in my opinion, I'd start him. Then I'd definitely get Breida in the game and let him play a lot. But I would go with the more steady guy, and I think Alfred Morrison fits this running scheme. He knows how the blocking scheme is. He's patient. The guy can get it. I like him a lot better.
He looks solid in the game against Indianapolis. What you have to remember is that Indianapolis in the trenches and at the linebacker position is one of the worst in the NFL. So you can't get caught up too much in what they did against the Colts. But that being said, you weren't on any roster. You came in cold. You got your opportunity, and you ran with it. Meanwhile, Matt Breida, who has more familiarity in this version of Shanahan's offense, missed almost damn near the entire preseason with that shoulder injury. So you've got to worry about that coming in. How much do you have to consider the ability to hold up in pass protection? Knowing you're on the road against Minnesota, against one of the most ferocious front fours, how much is that going to weigh in when it comes to the snaps and the reps Sunday against the Vikings?
I think it weighs in a lot, Joe, and I think that's why they're going to go at Alfred. I really believe that you go with a veteran guy to kind of right the ship early, and then you put other guys in and start, the off speed. But if you look at what they're going to be getting, they're going to get a heavy dose of those guys to, walking up in the A gap, the Mike linebacker, double A gap blitz. You're going to get some squeeze, some hard calls, and offensive linemen and running backs are going to have to adjust. And I think because Alfred Morrison has been in this type of system for a while under Kyle Shanahan's toolage, I think that this is an offense that he knows, offense that he can grasp. He's already been in it. But I really believe that you are going to have to lean on a lot of veterans. And it still doesn't merit a win. It still doesn't give you the think that you're going to win. And Breida can run hard, and Breida's a good little back. But I'm going with a veteran guy who's been in big moments, who started in the National Football League.
If you're John Lynch, do you call Pittsburgh about Le'Veon Bell?
Yes. If you're John Lynch, you've probably already made that call because he's shown that he's got a certain amount of chutzpah. He's got those stones that you need as a GM as we work all nationalities and all cultures into the program here at Lowe, and good morning. I think he's shown that he has the gravitas to pull off a trade with New England, so he would certainly have that to call Pittsburgh. And I don't know if the fit would be right or if the price would be right, but John Lynch has stunned us already with some acquisitions. But you look at that running back position, and honestly, if it's Alfred Morris, a guy who, like Joe said, wasn't on any team, you got Raheem Mostert and Matt Breida. And it's not like McKinnon's coming back in week 6. He's not in the concussion protocol. The ACL is a, you go ahead and guarantee 6 months at the absolute earliest, really more like nine plus. So do you really want to go into a season with this as your stable, your first full season to Jimmy G? I think you want to look for an upgrade.
You know, on one hand, the running back position, the Shanahan family is unreal at discovering diamonds in the rough and getting more out of these guys than anyone else could ever imagine. Steve Slayton in Houston working under Kyle Shanahan, Alfred Morris previously in Washington, what they got out of Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman in Atlanta. So on one hand, you'd say to yourself, you know what? As long as the guy fits what Kyle wants to do, he's going to get the most out of him. On the other hand, you do see how important this position is to this offense. And to go into the season with Matt Breida, relatively unproven and missed virtually all of the preseason due to an injury, coupled with Alfred Morris, who wasn't even on a roster a couple weeks ago, there has to be at least some level of concern as to what you're going to get out of the position. Now, if it doesn't work in Minnesota, it's not the end of the world. The Vikings ranked number one in the NFL in total defense last year. They only gave up 276 total yards a game. They also ranked number one in rushing defense last season. Something to keep in mind moving forward. But if it doesn't work against the Vikes, it's going to have to work against Detroit. At some point, you're going to have to get this running game up and going.
Oh, and you will, and you have to. I look at the San Francisco 49ers. I don't know if they go after a Le'Veon Bell. And just are they going to look at to upgrade in free agency next year? Le'Veon, are they going to spend that type of money? I don't know if Cal will do that. He's already spent some money on this particular back that he has. You look at next year, you look at what the Raiders' backs that they have that's going to be free agents. You look around the league and think about how many running backs out there. Are they going to just jump in all with Le'Veon and have to pay a guy, you know, between $15 to $18 million a year? I just don't know if they're going to actually view the running back position in that regards because of the Shanahan success, because of, like you alluded to earlier, what they've been able to do with the running back position and find diamonds in the rough, and those guys have performed at a very, very high level. So it's just going to be interesting to me if they do happen to pick up the phone and John Lynch go, because I think that maybe John likes this guy. Well, who doesn't like what Le'Veon brings to the table? But Kyle Shanahan's, he's on the other side of this. He's saying, look, I don't need to spend that type of money on the running back position for my type of scheme. If you're going to spend that kind of money, I wish we would have got a Khalil Mack. If we're going to spend that type of money, give me an offensive tackle. I really believe the way that he runs this zone scheme, you see in Terrell Davis, all these guys that this family has produced as running backs, you don't need necessarily a bell cow to be successful in this offense.
And perhaps a little gun shy next season, knowing you just gave $11.7 million to a running back who's not going to give you a single snap this year.
Absolutely.
Hopefully that doesn't alter the view. You can't let one thing completely alter your strategy moving forward, but you know darn well when they're discussing that position next year, the pocketbook comes out and it might be, all right, how much do we necessarily want to commit? More on this throughout the program. We'll talk to Kyle Juszczyk at 7. Will Brinson's going to join us next. He's from CBS Sports. Super Bowl picks, sleepers, Khalil Mack, Jimmy Garoppolo, and everything in between right here on 95.7 The Game.
The NFL is back. And it's on 95.7 The Game.
The Vikings! The Vikings have won!
Tomorrow, it's the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles versus the Atlanta Falcons. And you can hear the game right here, starting at 5:30. NFL lives on 95.7 The Game. Opening night, the playoffs, and the Super Bowl. It's Westwood One's coverage of the NFL, and it's now on the Bay Area's football station, 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Mark it down, take a picture. NFL Hall of Famer Kurt Warner coming up today at 8:18. It's your boys, Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Kyle Juszczyk at 7 a.m., but right now we go to the phones. Senior NFL writer for CBS Sports, Will Brinson, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Will, good morning, and thank you for your time. Let's begin with the San Francisco 49ers. As someone who covers the sport nationally, we love to get the opinion from outside the Bay Area bubble. How do you view the Niners in terms of where this team stacks up in the NFC West this season?
Yeah, what's up, guys? Good morning. Yeah, I think they're a, I don't know. I feel like they've been a weird, tracking the 49ers is odd. And I was talking about this on the Pick Six podcast, Joe's multi-time guest on that very podcast, daily NFL show that you can subscribe to on iTunes. But I mentioned it on today's episode that it feels like the hype kind of peaked with the Richard Sherman signing, maybe, and then has cooled off significantly. And it's almost like similar to the Redskins in the sense that Jarrett McKinnon goes down with a torn ACL. It's like, oh, I don't know if I like this. Like, everybody's like, I think I'm off the 49ers bandwagon entirely, and which is silly. Like, a running back shouldn't affect it that much. But it feels, you know, the win total has dropped in Vegas all offseason. It feels like people are cooling on the Niners a little bit. And I think it's really more of a, we like what they've done, but they're probably a year away, and the NFC is slammed, and the Bears are doing sexier things in terms of trading for Khalil Mack type of stuff. I mean, that's sort of where I am. I think that they are maybe properly hyped now. I thought they were very much overhyped earlier this offseason. I think that we're going to get a real gut check for San Francisco when they go into Minnesota on Sunday against a team that is just complete. I mean, I'm not sure what the Vikings, maybe you nitpicked that their offensive line isn't good. They got stud receivers, a great running game, and I think maybe the best overall defense in football, even better than the Jaguars, just in terms of what they can do from a stop the run, rush the passer, depth in the secondary perspective. And I think that we will see a real test of Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo. If they show up and they keep it close or even beat the Vikings in Minnesota, in a place that's a really difficult home field advantage for the Vikings, then that's a statement game. And you know, I don't overreact to week one, but I think it'll be something that puts them more on our radar. But if they get snuffed out by the Vikings, I think it'll be a real reality check. And I tend to think the latter is going
to
happen.
The first four games, brutal, with trips to Kansas City and then a date with the Chargers down in L.A. as well, so it doesn't get much easier for the 49ers. The big question around here is what to do at running back. Might Le'Veon Bell be available for trade? And if not, what other options do the Niners have to upgrade that room?
Wow. I mean, yeah, sure. I'm sure he is available via trade if they were so inclined to do that. And you have to think that Le'Veon Bell, I'm actually just thinking this through at the very moment, but you have to wonder, right? Did Le'Veon Bell over the weekend see what happened with Khalil Mack? Like, oh, wait, this dude didn't show up and they traded him somewhere that they'll pay him? He's like, maybe I should do that and just not show up, and that might explain his absence. I don't know. I mean, it kind of makes sense, especially when you consider there are teams like the Jets or teams like the 49ers that might be willing to sacrifice something to Pittsburgh in order to get Le'Veon Bell, before the start of the season. I don't know that Pittsburgh would be willing to do that because they want to make a run with him this year, but we'll see. I think if San Francisco wanted to do that, that would be an interesting addition for this offense. I mean, Le'Veon Bell in a Kyle Shanahan offense gets me, I mean, my heart fluttering a little bit, honestly, because you talk about a perfect back for what Kyle Shanahan wants to do. Just so technically sound with his routes, a great pass catcher, a tremendous between the tackles runner. I think he'd be incredible in that system, and it would be worth considering. But given what the 49ers sunk into the position with Jarrett McKinnon, given what the contracts that they're going to have to deal with, at least in the quasi-near future, I would wonder if they would want to allocate that much more to their cap space in terms of paying a running back, because, you know, it's going to be a harder deal, I think, than the one for Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack is easy. You know, you call his agent, say, hey, all right, look, we'll give you a dollar more than Aaron Donald. Sounds good. Let's get this thing done. With Le'Veon Bell, you really have to figure out what he wants in terms of top of the market running back money. And when you look at the amount of time you have between now and Sunday, it might be tough to pull off. But I think Matt Breida and Alfred Morris can cobble together a decent little poor man's running game for Kyle Shanahan. Alfred Morris, of course, familiar with the system, a lot of success there. Matt Breida, maybe the more athletic, explosive pass catcher, closer to Jarrett McKinnon. I could see, Kyle Shanahan's done work with lesser stuff before.
Yeah, I'm kind of agreeing with you there as far as Le'Veon would set the market, so you got to be willing to go all in if you were going to try to facilitate that trade. So you're kind of selling the San Francisco 49ers, not thinking, you know, everyone's thinking 9-10 wins. I'm on the same side as you. Don't know if this team is as good as everyone perceives them to be. On the other side of the bay, you have the Oakland Raiders. We know who's at the helm, Chucky, a.k.a. Gruden. People give the, you know, this guy, put him on a coaching pedestal. What is the, is it, are you buying or selling this team? Give me your breakdown on the Raiders as well.
This year I'm selling it and selling it aggressively, like Enron stock, circa whenever Enron was crashing to the ground. I mean, John Gruden is Enron. Gruden is Enron. That'll sell well. I think John Gruden's selling it too. I mean, if you're trading Khalil Mack, you are tacitly acknowledging that your team is probably not ready to win in 2018, right? I mean, he complained about the defense publicly, even with Khalil Mack previously. I mean, he came out and said that in a way that probably didn't sit well with Khalil Mack, but it wasn't entirely inaccurate. This wasn't going to be a good defense. You know, they drafted Colton Miller and kicked Donald Penn to the right side after an awkward holdout with a guy that he coached in freaking Tampa Bay. And now they have a rookie left tackle starting in a Tom Cable run offensive line. I don't know that, you know, they spent a third round pick on Martavis Bryant and cut him 3 months later. I don't see how anybody can buy. I mean, I'm sure there are Raiders fans who are in on it. Like, I got a DM from a Bills fan last night who's like, "You're a clown. The Bills aren't going to go 2-14. They're going to go 2-2 to start the season." Like, all right, bro. Like,
are you sure you got that because of your Bills take?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know. Yeah, like, I mean, I got some terrible takes out there, but I don't know. I mean, I'm just surprised. Like really? Like, Bills fans are going to come at me? I mean, like you're going to stink. What are you doing? I mean, if the Bills win six games, I'll print out a tweet and eat it. I don't know. I think with the Raiders too. I mean, when I was in Vegas a couple of weeks ago, I got a Raiders under ticket at 8 with basically even money. That was before the Khalil Mack trade, before really things started to turn against Oakland. And you know, I think under 8 is a pretty good bet this year with Oakland. I would be very impressed with John Gruden winning, you know, more. If John Gruden goes above 500, I will be very surprised and impressed. I do think he's actually going to put together a pretty good game against the Rams, even with you know, the players probably being a little disheartened by the Khalil Mack trade heading into week one. But yeah, I'm selling the Raiders hard this year.
Senior NFL writer for CBS Sports. Follow him on Twitter so you can stay up to date with all the podcasting, the streaming, and the writing. He's one of the best in the business. At Will Brinson. Will Brinson joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Always a pleasure, buddy. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, guys. Have a great morning. Take care.
Back to what he was saying with his first response. The Niners. Overhyped, underhyped, properly hyped.
They are overhyped now. I think that after the injury and what we've seen from the schedule since the schedule's come out, I think the hype train has slowed. And he's right on the money when he says it was at its peak with the Richard Sherman signing, because we all put aside the Achilles and then you start to break it down. And well, he may not be 100% and he is getting older, and then you lose your running back, etc., and the schedule comes out. So I think as far as the hype curve goes, we're on the downside of the hype. But If you go out and you beat Minnesota, you shock them, the hype train gets rolling once again.
We're talking Super Bowl on Monday.
Without a doubt.
Minnesota. Over, under, proper.
I think it's definitely overhype. I think you look at this team, you look at the guys that's on this roster, it doesn't merit a 10-win season. And then people saying 9-10, you know, between 9-10 wins. I don't see it. I'm on the latter side of 7-8 wins. And that's for me, I think that's a great season for the Niners with the guys that they have on this roster.
He made an interesting point about Gruden and the Mack trade. Do you think any part, and I'm not saying it's the primary reason, do you think any part of the decision for Gruden to trade Mack to the Bears had to do with, look, if I don't have Mack and I move him and have assets, there won't be as much pressure on me to win this season?
Without a doubt. And as we start to tick down the last days or even hours in Oakland, in light of the recent news, which I know we're going to get into, the pressure to win should be greater. But with the moves they're making, it's like they don't even care, Coach. The pressure's off. It's all about Vegas.
I think that it's opposite. I think that he's showing you that he can win. And he's showing he can win without Mac. You look at the Los Angeles Rams offensive line, Joe. It's older. It's beat up. You got some concerns. A lot of those guys didn't even play preseason because they were afraid to get injured. If you look at their schedule, the Raiders' schedule, to me, I think Gruden's a genius. I think that he planned this thing and he orchestrated this. He's like the conductor of the symphony. And this guy's got this thing conducted just well. I look at their first five games and I'm on the other side of Greg Papa saying it looks like this first five games are brutal. I don't see it that way. I see the Niners' first five game way more tougher. They're playing against way more proven teams than the Raiders. I don't care how you're looking at it. They are in a great situation. This Raider team, if they don't make the playoffs, I think it's a big disappointment. When you look at the first five games, they have a chance to make hay, and especially what you guys laid out, you and Dibs laid out, especially with the Rams coming in, not playing a lot of guys, having an opportunity to catch them without not the timing and all the things that they can do to this team, didn't necessarily gel. You look at it, now everyone's thinking, okay, they don't have Khalil Mack, so they're going to be a little bit lulled more to sleep offensively. I think they got a great chance to make some noise.
All right, so let's ask the people that next, but we also have this question with the Raiders. Is this the final year in Oakland? And do you care if it's the final year in Oakland? Joe Lo and Dibs, back with that next here on 95.7 The Game.
The NFL lives here.
You have to be kidding me. That is impossible.
Oh, my goodness. It's going to go in for the touchdown.
Touchdown! Unbelievable run.
They have finally done it. The city of Philadelphia has a Super Bowl champion.
Opening night, the playoffs, and the Super Bowl. It's Westwood One's coverage of the NFL, and it's now on the Bay Area's football station, 95.7. The Game. Joe Lo and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
If you want to weigh in on the following conversation, phone numbers 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. If you can't, but you want to vote on it, go to the website 957thegame.com. Check out the Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily Chevrolet. So, Phil Metier and Andrew Ross of the San Francisco Chronicle have an article out today you need to read. It starts like this. The Oakland City Council has authorized a multi-million dollar antitrust lawsuit against both the NFL and the Raiders over the team's impending move to Las Vegas. Legal action that Coliseum officials said could result in the team leaving Oakland at the end of the upcoming season. Essentially, money, 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 money. Bottom line is this. The city wants to sue the Raiders. The Raiders have said that if a lawsuit comes their way, they might go ahead and just bail after this year. That's the standoff we're at right now. Read the article, Phil Metier and Andrew Ross, San Francisco Chronicle. It's got all the details in there. But bottom line, let's start with this. Is this going to be the final year for the Oakland Raiders in the city of Oakland?
I think it is, because I believe that this lawsuit in some form will go forward. And I think that the Raiders, I will take them at their word and say, if you sue us, we're not going to stay, which you can't begrudge them for that. So I think when push comes to shove and this season progresses, and unfortunately this will be a storyline that'll pop its head out like whack-a-mole, and by the end of the season, I think this will be it. I don't know where they'll go or where they'll play. Maybe the SnubHub Center can have a second team for a couple years, Coach, but I think that this is it for them in Oakland.
Ultimately, the max before this stadium in Las Vegas is done is 2 years after this season. You're going to play at the Coliseum this year, and then they're talking about playing in Oakland for $3.7 million as the rent in 2019. And then if you need one additional year, like they needed in L.A. for the Rams because of the torrential downpour last year, which delayed the construction, $5 million in 2020. That's not what they're arguing over. They're arguing over so many other things. And we're not going to get into all those details here. But to surmise, do you think all of this pushes it over the edge? Is this the final year for the Raiders in Oakland?
I tell you right now, if this lawsuit actually happens and they do it and they file it and it becomes, they go down this road, I think so. And I'm telling you, I think that San Diego is the place for them. You look at it
for 1 year and then over to Vegas, assuming
absolutely
the timeline's correct.
Or maybe even two, if need be.
Yeah, 1 or 2 years. If you're in San Diego, you got all the people from L.A. that'll drive up. You got so many people in San Diego, Chula Vista. I mean, when I was there playing in San Diego, it'd be more Raider fans there than in our own stadium.
I remember
you saw
those
it
games.
The last, even when we saw it 2 years ago. I mean, when they were the last game San Diego played Oakland, and San Diego was leaving, it was more Raider fans. I mean, we saw people were filming. It's like it looked like the Coliseum. I think the best place for if they do happen to leave would be right down the street in San Diego. And you know what? It's easy to travel, to drive from San Diego right over to Vegas. You're talking about building that fan base. You already got this fan base, the diehards here. You got a lot of them in Southern California. I think, without a doubt, you got a stadium already there. They San Diego Aztecs play there anyway. They can just get it ready to turn over the next day. I think San Diego is the place for them to go.
Two questions. First one, do the Raiders have a good business relationship with anybody? And I don't mean that to be spiteful, but every time we're talking about business, we're not talking about on-the-field production. We're just talking about straight business. Do they have a good relationship with anybody?
Not that I can see or from what you've dealt with. It seems like they have a good relationship with Las Vegas, but it's still in.
They had to burn Sheldon Adelson to get there, though.
Well,
the guy who
there was
got,
that.
The guy who got them the votes for the stadium, they had to stab him in the back in order to get what they ultimately wanted. So do they really have a good relationship with Las Vegas? Because right now, it's not as if people are thrilled at the idea of $750 million going towards the team. If you go read the polls down there, the fans, they got a hockey team that went to the Stanley Cup final. They're good with pro sports. They like the idea of the NFL coming, but they also see their school systems ranking 50th in the country, and that's starting to become an alarming concern for people down
there.
That's
a good counterpoint, and I was forgetting about the Sheldon Adelson wrinkle in that whole Las Vegas in the machination. It was more than a wrinkle for Sheldon, I'm sure, when he discovered that he was no longer in on the deal. But to the relationship with Oakland, this predates the current owner. It goes back to the owner's father when he wanted to move back to Oakland, and so he got the city and the county to take out these massive loans to build the abomination that is Mount Davis. So the Raiders are going to leave while the city and the county still owe money on it. I think that ultimately is the backbone of this lawsuit.
But do they have good business relationships with anyone?
You know what?
Because every time they come up, they're fighting with somebody. They were fighting with the league about L.A., and then they got kicked out of that equation. Then they were fighting with Sheldon Adelson about how it was going to play in Vegas. They fight with the radio station. They fight with their TV partners. They fight with agents. They seem to be mixing it up with everybody.
I really believe if Mark Davis is listening, I really believe that he needs to bring in a consultant, an outside source that's going to say, let's look at your bottom. Let's start from the top to bottom, from GM, from organization, structure, and let's go and let's find out what you guys are doing well, and let's find out what you're doing bad. And there's going to be a lot of things they're doing well, and there's going to be a hell of a lot of things they're doing bad. And you need to start cleaning house or bringing people that are competent or bringing people that or at least teach them how to put things, teach them how to do business. Teach them, okay, when you got the exit strategy, what are some of the things you need to do? Maybe don't tweet good luck to the Knights when you got San Jose. Maybe you teach them business practice. And they're, you know, because there's probably a lot of competent people. Don't want to say they're not competent. I just don't think that they are given the right details and the answers to the test. Because right now, this team doesn't seem like they have a good working relationship with a lot of people. And when you don't have necessarily the big pockets, sometimes you don't know how to facilitate these things to make it work. You just don't get, you know, you crawl before you walk. You know, you walk before you run, and sometimes this team is trying to run before they even started to crawl. So it's a lot of things that's going on, and to answer your question, I don't think they have great business practice, and I don't think it's intentional. I really don't believe that it's intentional. I think it's just organization-wise, they need to clean up a lot of things to help the fans, to bring these fans with them. What are some of the things they're doing to, you know, to community base? You should be ingrained into Oakland. For you left this place twice, came back. You should have roots here and doing something to make sure these fans understand this transition. And I just don't think they're out in front of it doing it the right way.
Do you think Raider fans, true Raider fans in Oakland right now, how many of them, what percentage just want the team gone after this year?
Believe it
like
or not,
just sooner rather than later.
I really believe it's about 30-40%. That's a high.
So about a third to 40% of the current fan base is just like, you know what, just get out.
I was thinking initially a quarter, but in you saying a third or even 40% makes my quarter feel even a little bit low, because I've talked to a small handful of Raider fans of late who have either gotten rid of their season tickets or aren't going to Vegas at all to even see a game. And so,
and the reason why I'm so high is because I think it's that – That group of people and the people that are saying, I don't care either way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then you got 50 to 60% that just still die hard.
Take the people who have an opinion. Those. Anyone who doesn't care either way, move them out of the equation. There are some that want them to stay forever. As long as possible, die hard Raider Nation fans, fine. Then there are also the people that have the opinion, die hard fans, that are just saying, you know what? Enough's enough. Which leads me in the point two. anyone who's watching season two of Ozark or who has ever watched House of Cards understands how important perception is when it comes to getting bills passed, when it comes to legislation, when it comes to anything that's going to play out in the public forum. You want to make sure your ducks are in a row and that you're buttoned up so that when you go after someone or you present something, you can sway public opinion to your side. I find it very interesting that the report of this lawsuit comes out about 48 hours after the Raiders trade Khalil Mack to the Chicago Bears, when public perception is at close to an all-time low for the Raiders, when Raider fans and people who follow the team couldn't be angrier. Suddenly, here comes the city looking to sue them. Now, if the Raiders had just won a Super Bowl and everything was dialed in, you'd be thinking to yourself, get out of here, city. Remember when the Oakland versus Warriors thing played out with the parade and who was going to spend for what?
Right.
No one was going to side with the city on that. It's the Warriors. They won a title. It's a parade. Pony up. No one wants to hear about your issues in that spot. However, in this spot, I think more people are willing to sit back and say, what are your financial issues? What is this team costing us? They just traded Khalil Mack. I'm not exactly happy with them. I would like to hear about how you plan on going after them to get some money. You think that's a conspiracy theory? You think the timing of this was architectured? That's not the word I'm looking for. Engineered in order to kind of step into a moment where they could take advantage
without
of the spotlight.
Without a doubt. And I mean, the city council makes this decision, and it's not an on-the-docket vote. They just decide as a group that they're going to explore moving forward. And, of course, you give it to Mateer and Ross because they're the best reporters in the Bay Area when it comes to this sort of news. And it becomes injected right before week one, by the way, in the NFL. So even if Khalil Mack didn't get traded, I think the story still gets broken out at this time because of the fact that the NFL is about to start. So the timing is maybe double coincidence in that Mack got dealt.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1A radio.com station. Good morning and welcome to Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Kyle Juszczyk, 49er fullback, set to join us in just a few moments. Kurt Warner will join us at 8:18 this morning. The fullback position, not exactly costing what some of these other positions do, which is what can make it valuable if you can utilize it the right way. One of the things we want to try to figure out at some point is, can you get two $20 million a year players under contract and make it work in the NFL? In light of what's happening or has happened in Oakland, that is a conversation that's moving itself into the forefront of the national picture. But for now, 49er fullback, two-time Pro Bowler, Kyle Juszczyk, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Kyle, happy game week, and thanks for the time. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm feeling excited. Time to play some real ball.
You know, you get through the preseason, you get yourself into this position, you're going to travel to Minnesota this weekend. What's the mindset coming off the preseason? Is it just, you know what, man, thank God it's done, it's behind us?
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.